Hello and welcome, dear viewers, to Spotlight Middle East. I'm your host, Farah Hatwan. I'm joined here by Dr. Mohsen Saleh, a political analyst. Hello and welcome to Spotlight, Doctor. Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah vowed to punish the Israeli regime for assassinating one of its senior commanders, Hassan al-Laqis, on December 4 in his apartment building's garage near Beirut. His Eminence stressed that the killers will be punished sooner or later. Those who killed our brothers will not know safety anywhere in the world. Nasrallah highlighted that the members of the Lebanese resistance movement were battling the anti-government militants alongside Syrian government forces in the strategic border town of Al-Qusayr, an important center and supply route for the foreign-sponsored militant. And if the foreign-backed militants win the war on Syria, they will turn their weapons on Lebanon. However, Lebanon is still paying the price of unrest in Syria as several rockets fired by Takfiri groups have landed in an area in Lebanon's Bekaa Valley. Security sources said six rockets hit a Lebanese army barrack in the border town of Hermel, leaving several people, including two soldiers, injured. These occasional cross-border rocket attacks have given rise to fears of the spillover of turmoil in Syria into Lebanon. On the other hand, United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says that preparations are they're getting ready for the upcoming Geneva 2 conference on the ongoing crisis in Syria. They are on the track as the conference scheduled to be held in Switzerland in two parts. So will Syrian unrest be resolved in Geneva and by that ending a Lebanese fear of a massive crisis to take place in the country? We will know more after watching this report. Stay tuned.
Lebanon on the edge. The situation in Lebanon was not in its best shape lately, where the government have not been formed yet, and there are no signs which shows that there will be a government anytime soon. The spillover of the Syrian crisis on the country has gone so far, and the global Lebanese presidential battle has begun. All of this is taking place amid a chaotic security situation. Not to forget the presence of a huge number of Syrian refugees who have become a burden on the Lebanese society and government for the lack of support from countries who promised to help ease this burden. Attack against the army by militants in Saidoun, assassination of a prominent leader in the Lebanese resistance, and bomb attacks here and there. This is the situation in Lebanon, where it is clear that someone wants to inflame it rather than calming it in the Middle Eastern country. Not to mention the presence of Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups, where Secretary General of the Lebanese Resistance, Hezbollah, warned from those in a speech on Friday by saying, the Takfiri threat in Syria does not only target minorities, but it targets all those who differ from it. And concerning the situation in Lebanon, where those Takfiri groups have become a threat, he said, somewhere in the region, someone has reached the stage of wanting to ignite the country as a result of hatred, anger, and failure. Although Sayyid Nasrallah did not name that someone, but all fingers are pointed towards Saudi Arabia. But the question is, why inflame the situation in Lebanon at this particular time?
Okay, Dr. Mohsen, if you wanted to speak about the assassination of Commander Hassan al-Laqis, as we highlighted in the introduction, of course, Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah highlighted and spoke about the revenge for Hassan al-Laqis, of course, after accusing Israel of being the ones behind it. Can we also say that the assassination of Hassan al-Laqis is a direct result of turmoil in Syria?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, this is an open war,
yes,
with the Israeli enemy. And we have to expect everything from this enemy. And the assassination, the martyrdom of the leader, Hassan al-Laqis. In fact, he is the father of another martyr in 2006. Yes. One of his sons martyred in this war against the Israeli enemy. And also the Israeli enemy, they know they have a list by these leaders who are very influential and very smart and inventors inside the resistance. And they know that they are having a very strong resistance in Lebanon. And that's why I guess they have really grabbed this this opportunity in order to assassinate, to kill the martyr Hassan al-Raqqis.
Hezbollah Secretary General highlighted that we do not want the Israelis to believe that because we're totally involved in Syria, that means
well, they know their reports talk in details about the powerful resistance in Lebanon of Hezbollah. And of course, they know also they are taking this chance in order to reduce the power of Hezbollah and the great leaders in Hezbollah. Of course, they are mistaken in this part. But however, the battle is an open battle, as we said. But we really, the resistance lost one of the bright intellects in the resistance. So I guess it is an open battle. Sometimes you achieve victory, sometimes you lose one of the leaders, like Imad Mughniyeh, like of course Secretary General Sayyid Abbas al-Mousawi, the great martyr, the master of the martyrs of the resistance, and also Sheikh Raghib Harb. We have great leaders in this really march for freedom and independence and liberation. But I guess, of course, the resistance won't forget.
Many here accused Dr. Mohsen that Hezbollah did not have tight security over there, especially when it came to the protection of Hassan al-Laqqis, and that's why he was easily targeted by the Israelis. And probably that's why Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah had to clarify that point, that being involved in Syria does not mean that we forgot about the Israelis or we forgot about the mission of that the Israelis wanted to achieve in Lebanon.
You know, the resistance in Lebanon is having sometimes hard enemies, whether in terms of media, in terms of the takfiris, in terms of those who think of the resistance in terms of its sectarian aspect. But I guess the enemy, the Israeli enemy, knows very well that this resistance is behind him and will not forget the great battle with him. This is a war, an open war, and these battles will continue in order to finalize the situation, and that will take some time. And the battle in Syria is not separated, is inseparated with the battle in order to liberate Palestine. And all this conspiracy against Syria, because Syria is one of the fortresses of the resistance in the region. And that's why I guess now the Israelis killed Syrians and Lebanese in order to avenge defeats from 1982, 85, 93, 96, 2000, 2006. So there's one only hard block hindering the map of the Israelis inside this region. And that's the Islamic resistance, of course, by the leadership of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, who is who knows really the multi-dimensional war.
Exactly, and that's what he said. He said that if foreign-backed militants win the war on Syria, they will turn their weapons on Lebanon. Sayyid Nasrallah further point out that the extremist Salafist groups from the backbone of the unrest in Syria are willing to enter Lebanon, adding that the U.S.-backed armed groups are also a threat to all Lebanese communities and not necessarily Muslims inside Lebanon?
Well, everybody knows, and even the Americans know that Al-Qaeda, Nusra, mm-hmm. and Daesh, yes. all these takfiri organizations mm-hmm. And terrorists, they are killing innocent people in Syria and in Lebanon, putting bombs here and there. But I guess also they know that mm-hmm. the regime in Syria is very strong, the resistance in Lebanon is very strong, and the backers of this axis of resistance is also very strong, yani Russia, China, Iran, of course. Mm-hmm. The world now is changing, gradually changing. And that's why we see that the Israelis and the Saudis, of the fathers of these takfiris, mm-hmm. the planners for these takfiris, and also the financiers of these takfiris, they know that they can't really defeat the resistance. They are trying to delay the battle mm-hmm. Against them by helping these takfiris and preventing the victory against them here and there. And we know that, everybody knows that Bandar, the president of what's so-called the intelligence services in Saudi Arabia, they are really collaborating with the Israelis in yes. order to see.
And they're now saying it out loud, Doctor. I mean, the Saudi involvement or the Saudi cooperation with the Israelis, it's being revealed to the public, not only by the Saudis, but also by the Israelis. They are saying that there is a major cooperation. Your opinion, and what happened in politics
visits.
That they are no more hiding this cooperation under the table as used to happen in the past? And now they're going on TV and actually saying it. And even in the news, in Western newspapers, we read that they're saying it and there's nothing to be afraid of.
Well, some observers from the West and Saudi Arabia, they are saying that these relations, these new relations with Saudi Arabia and the Israeli entity is part of the intersection or intersecting interests in the region against Syria and Hezbollah and Iran.
The Saudis or the Israelis felt at one point that they lost a strong ally, not totally lost, but at least this deviation in instances or even change in foreign diplomatic talks, or speaking about the US, is it because they felt at one point that they lost that and that Iran is probably gaining more actually positive stances in the region and grabbing the US towards its benefit? Is it because of that fear they collided here, the US and Saudi, the Israelis and Saudis?
I think we should be clear and and obvious concerning this deal between Iran and the United States. It's not a final deal. It's not delineated in order to finish all the
But at least
clashes,
it's a diplomatic talk that hasn't happened in more than 30 years.
That's
at least
true.
It's an achievement.
That's true. But
and with that, Iran gained
but
popularity.
But this is only a step.
Doctor.
Let me finish just this part
Please.
Of the question. That the Saudis, think that the Americans are going to free the hand of the Iranians in the Gulf. And that's not true. I guess the Israelis, many times the Americans, Kerry and Obama emphasized the security of Israel and that they would guarantee the Israeli security. This would not lead to the conclusion that the Americans will abandon the Saudis and the Israelis. Mm-hmm. But what they are afraid of, the Saudis and the Israelis, that this this deal will allow Iran to continue its enrichment of uranium and will continue its influence on the resistance and helping resistance in Iraq and the Syrian regime and the resistance in Lebanon and in Palestine, that will really give a deep breath and mm-hmm. will give chance for these powers in order to circumstance and surround the Israelis. And the Saudis, they are going anti-history, anti-time. Mm-hmm. They don't have any chance to continue in these policies. That's why I guess we have now a chance to for the Saudis to change their mind. Of course, the battle with Israelis will not end at any time, mm-hmm. at any place, until they evacuate Palestine for the Palestinians, because yes. we have at least 7 million Palestinians were migrated, fled from their country because of the Israeli massacres and Israeli invasion.
Yes.
That's why I guess we have okay. an opportunity to reinforce this axis of resistance mm-hmm. by this deal or other deal.
Okay.
The world has been changing since 2006. The battle with the Israelis, the resistance achieved a very historical and strategic
yes.
and divine victory,
mm-hmm.
and that will we are having now the consequences of
that.
This.
We will take a short break, dear viewers. Stay tuned. Welcome back, dear viewers. Doctor, is what we are seeing in northern Lebanon or the northern Lebanese city of Tripoli a direct effect of unrest in Syria, and that's why we're seeing this kind of unrest happening between Bab al-Tibani and Jabal Mohsen? Is it a direct effect of the unrest over there, or it's an old thing going on between these two places and it has nothing to do with Syria here?
It has a great thing to do with Syria,
mm-hmm.
because whenever these terrorist groups and the Wahhabis and this backward line in Islam, they could not achieve anything in Syria. On the contrary, they have been defeated in many places, in Qusair,
mm-hmm.
in Damascus, and in now in Qalmun. They are also the Syrian Arab army is really having a great achievement and will continue until liberating all the lands been occupied by the terrorists. Whenever they feel that they have problems inside Syria, they go and move this place between Tabani and Jabal Mohsen.
Okay.
And that will not give them a very great chance in order to change the equations on the ground in
mm-hmm.
the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Lebanese government could go, the army used its power in order to put, not an end at least, to stop these battles
mm-hmm.
Between Tabani and Jabal Mohsen. We know that these groups in Tripoli actually financed and armed by some of the offices
mm-hmm.
of the great officers in Lebanon, let's to say responsible men like Rifi, like probably others in the government as
mm-hmm.
well.
So you're saying that there is no way for this unrest to happen only if the 14th of March members, politicians from there, are directly supporting militants inside Tripoli here? I mean, Saudi is funding them. Is it funding them through the 14th of March politicians?
Through the 14th of March, and might have some sheikhs
and emirs.
Sheikhs in Tripoli, and will having this relation as a Sunni, let's to say,
okay.
sect.
Extremists, of course.
And Wahhabis. Probably
okay.
we will see some trends of Wahhabism inside mm-hmm. Inside Tripoli. And that has something to do, of course, with Syria and with Iran and with sectarianism, of course, paid by and probably as well the Americans and the Western want this to inflame this battle between the Sunnis and Shiites in order to say, well, Islam distort Islam
yes.
and distort the message of Islam.
Okay, but is it
and that's what they are doing when they are shooting people directly, civilians, innocent
yes.
people, no, on the ground. They can't see them inside them. They
yes.
kill them
just
and break their...
Just images similar to
what's happening in Syria.
Yes.
And of course, I guess they won't succeed. They won't have any kind of victory against the people in Tripoli.
Okay, doctor, but many are saying that residents, or even, let me go far, saying militants inside Babat Tabani are trying hard to drag Hezbollah into a war through Babat Tabani, through Tripoli here. And that's the main condition or the main aim from the unrest happening there.
Sayyid Nasrallah said it clearly that our business is not with you. Our battle is not with you. We don't have time for you. Mm-hmm. We don't have time for you to have a battle with you. You are not our enemy. Our
yes.
enemy is Israel
yes.
and nothing else but Israel. Mm-hmm. And these battles inside Syria or in Lebanon, these probably Hezbollah is pushed to have to deal with these people, mm-hmm. Not militarily. On the contrary, trying the army, the Lebanese army, trying the government to take its responsibilities.
Yes, trying to push the government to be there more than members.
Telling the government that we are not having any kind of intention in order to go into a war inside Lebanon.
Yes.
And that's from a pure doctrinal viewpoint of Hezbollah.
Yes, they tried a lot of time to actually isolate Jabal Mohsen residents.
Marginal battles.
In many occasions, we've seen how militants from Babat Tabani try to isolate residents of Jabal Mohsen in order to like use them as a point or even to drag Hezbollah in and in order to save them. And that by itself proved their intentions.
This is also proven that they are mistaken.
Okay.
Hezbollah won't go to a battle inside Lebanon.
Okay.
Probably somebody in Lebanon, whether from an American point of view or from American groups, American-led groups in
yes.
Lebanon or Saudi-led groups in Lebanon might try in order to get Hezbollah involved in these marginal battles,
mm-hmm.
but Hezbollah will not go into such battles, marginal battles,
okay.
with the Lebanese or with the Syrians.
They will
even
not be dragged into that.
Even the Syrians, they know that Hezbollah is there defending itself and defending the Lebanese and defending the resistance.
Yes.
When Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah is saying this is an existential battle, that he means that if it's not for the resistance, now these people won't be in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are coming from Shishan, Chechnya,
countries we've
from
seen
Western
how from the United Kingdom
the Western,
also
the Western countries
came in,
are financing
foreigners.
And the Americans are financing these mm-hmm. groups in order to weaken the resistance in Lebanon.
Yes.
That's the issue. We have talked before about this issue when Colin Powell came to Syria and proposed to Bashar al-Assad, to President Assad, that
do you agree
we can
that,
guarantee you if you cut your relations with Iran and stop the assistance.
Yes, that's what the precondition for leaving his chair.
Yeah.
So can we say that because the plan to topple Bashar al-Assad at one point or another failed, that plan of like letting him be out of power failed, and that's why they're kind of taking it into Lebanon, and they're trying to drag the Lebanon into a similar war because their aim actually failed over there.
Well, actually, they believed that Turkey and Saudi Arabia and the United States and the Israelis and all this axis,
mm-hmm.
axis of evil. And they thought that in 2 months or 3 months or 6 months,
yes.
we'll
we're entering now third year,
mm-hmm. and this is will also. We are about to reach the fourth year,
yes.
and they could not really topple or divide even Syria. Mm. What they coveted.
They said it's similar to Libya and Tunisia.
And
it turned out to be the
they
opposite.
They thought by this battle in Syria will cut the relationship between Hezbollah and
mm-hmm.
Iran
yes.
and Iraq, and then will really have a kind of partition allows them to do in Syria whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they failed. That's why I guess the battle in Syria is in its probably last months and will not continue anymore because they have been weakened. The Americans now, they are talking about the people who are financing Daesh and financing al-Nusra should stop. Mm-hmm. And also they are saying that there is no replacement mm-hmm. for Bashar al-Assad and nobody can really achieve or be a powerful as Bashar al-Assad.
Okay.
And they have now to have a new view towards Syria, and that will be will manifest itself in Geneva.
Speaking about the relationships with the West, President al-Assad lately said that the problem lies in the double standards employed by some Western politicians regarding regional issues and their pursuit of narrow interest in a manner remote from a correct understanding of the reality and nature of what is happening in Syria and the region. Doctor, is this what we are really looking at, double standard, double U.S. standards from what's happening inside Syria here?
Well, actually, the Americans really Saudis nurtured the Al-Qaeda mm-hmm. and all these groups stemming from Al-Qaeda, like Al-Nusra, mm-hmm. like Daesh, all these people belong to Al-Qaeda and the thoughts and the doctrines of Al-Qaeda. And while they dislike Al-Qaeda to be in the United States and in Saudi Arabia and in the Western countries, they really pushed Al-Qaeda from Iraq and from other places. They gave them a safe haven in northern part of Syria and told the Turks and the Jordanians to help Al-Qaeda and these people to go into Syria to make changes on the ground. Mm-hmm. When they failed, now they are talking, well, we are against the terrorists, and they put this al-Nusra under the list.
Many say in order to know what's really going on, you have to look at the stance of the U.S.
The same person, when it is at your service, mm-hmm. at your service, you really don't look at him as an enemy. When they
he loses
are fighting
the
your enemy, of course. Now this is the double standard in terms of their values,
yes.
values in the American eyes, in the American mm-hmm. doctrine, it is not the same everywhere. If they dislike Al-Qaeda in their countries, they would like to see Al-Qaeda fighting, for example, the resistance in Lebanon and fighting mm-hmm. Iran and fighting those. Mm-hmm. Many times they pushed Al-Qaeda on the borders of Iran to do mm-hmm. some military actions, and the Iranians knew, and they warned the Americans from continuing in this in this thing. I guess the battle now is becoming clear mm-hmm. between the Takfiris, these people, the backward people, and this tribal way of thinking, these mm-hmm. people of the Wahhabis. Now we are about to discern all the ramifications of this battle in Syria.
But, Doctor, here I'm speaking about the double standards of the U.S. Of course, many say that if you wanted to know the results in Syria, understand these, of course, the U.S. Standards or the U.S. even stances. Here, many say that because of this new Iranian-U.S. relationship, we're seeing this double standards from the U.S. towards Syria. Can we say that this is also a direct effect of this new diplomacy used between Iran and the U.S.?
There are changes. Mm-hmm. Whatever we say, there are changes.
Yes.
The Americans could not and can't continue in the same policy, whether the intellectual policy or the way of thinking mm-hmm. and the civilized way, because of their situation, the economic and also the internal situation of the Americans. Mm-hmm. And also President Obama told there are no more wars with the Muslims. That he said that in Cairo, he said that in Turkey, he said that in many places. and he can't really he was under oath or under promising the people, mm-hmm. and now you can see the Americans are really retreating from all these battles.
Okay.
They want to withdraw. They withdrew from Iraq, although they have a great influence in Iraq.
For
we should
sure.
not forget that. And of course, they want to withdraw from Afghanistan, and they want to find a peaceful environment because not because the Americans they have these great and merciful values. No, no, because they are weak.
Yes.
Their foes, their China, Russia, Iran becoming stronger.
Okay,
because
that was
of
one
the
of the
weakness,
main reasons why
the
they
weaknesses of the American
yes.
and the Western role in the region from the
and
1950s.
And probably that what made them turn towards Iran, of course, as a reason,
yeah.
as a strong
yeah.
economic
That's
base. Let's take the final break. Today's episode, dear viewers, stay with us. Dear viewers, welcome back. Doctor, we've seen how the Syrian army is actually succeeding in conquering the foreign fighters in Syria, first through eastern Ghouta, then entered Qalamun, which is viewed as one of the
liberating,
most complex,
liberating
Qalamun, as one of the most complex area in Syria. They freed town of Nabek, and now they're still moving forward. I mean, how do you read this achievements here, when a lot of analysis along the region actually saying that Qalamun is a very important point and a location and will control the balance of war here? Or
of course. Yabrud and this Qalamun region is very strategic because it links Homs with Damascus and also cutting the ways and the waves of the terrorists from Arsal, from the Lebanese borders, Arsal, and also Dar'a and other places.
And so even they're saying it's
some
more important
strategic,
than Qusay?
Some strategic highways mm-hmm. were cut by these terrorists from Yabrud and Nabak and farms of Rima
okay.
as well. So now the Syrian army is really putting a control over the borders of Yabrud, the last cities in Qalamun mm-hmm. region or province. Let's say that the Syrian army felt that it is more powerful than before, mm-hmm. and many groups were with the what so-called Syrian free army. Then they joined their mother, army, mm-hmm. the official army of the regime, because they felt that these terrorist groups, these Takfiris, are coming in order to destroy Syria and kill the innocent people, and they are not really keen to see an independent Syria.
Yes.
They want to say, well, Iraq and Syria, they under the Islamic prefecture, wilaya, mm-hmm. wilaya mm-hmm. Of the caliph state
yes.
of al-Baghdadi and other Julani and all these. We have to be really paying a lot of attention to mm-hmm. the Syrian sympathy, feeling towards these groups. In order to choose between these options, I guess they would go to their regime, to their president, to mm-hmm. their army, and to their
institutions. Okay, but what does it mean today to win Al Qalamun, doctor? What does it mean if the
it
Syrian
It means no more no plans for division in Syria.
Yes,
this is first. Second, that means no powerful terrorist groups in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It means to cut the way of these people in order to reach Lebanon.
Okay.
Although there might be some groups escape from this battle to go to Arsal and some.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I guess most of the roads of Qalamun will not really take them to Arsal and Lebanese
ahead of Geneva. Ahead of Geneva too, a lot of observers are talking about the obstacles in the way of peace. Do you agree that the extremist groups are the main obstacles, and do you agree with the comments, of course, saying that the nature of modern warfare means that the U.S. government, the extremists and all fighters, even if we do not say equally, are to some extent responsible for the Syrian casualties? In your opinion, Geneva too, what will come out of it? Why are people that much optimistic about
nothing,
and many say that what will happen on the ground will control Geneva too, and that's why Kalamoun was their main target, because it will balance the result of war.
Yeah, that's why also in the eastern Ghouta of Damascus, they tried, Bandar especially tried to deploy as much as terrorists as much as he could. But really, he was defeated, and his groups and the Syrian Arab army was able to put an end to them, especially around the airport, the Damascus airport. And then they moved to Kalamoun, and also the Syrian Arab army was able to put an end for them. Now we have Yabrud. I guess the last battle in this region, in the eastern part of Syria, and still the battle in Aleppo and other places is going on, and the Syrian Arab army
it's saying that it's one of the most complex areas, Aleppo.
Well, let's leave it aside, but I guess now Geneva too is in favor of the Syrian regime, not for the terrorist groups. And the Saudis, that's why they are
investing
angry.
Every penny also
they
inside
are angry.
Syria.
The Saudis and the Israelis are angry, but I guess some of the Western powers as well, they are angry, but I guess they can't change the track of history and powerful resistance in this region. The powerful resistance in Lebanon, the powerful resistance in Syria, although they say they call regime, but this regime is a resistential
regime. Doctor, what about Iran's participation in Geneva II? How do you read that, and why do some countries insist that Geneva II cannot be achieved without the participation of Iran?
Well, of course, Iran is politically is part of the issue in Syria. And of course, one of the conditions of the Americans on Bashar al-Assad to cut its relation with Iran.
Yes.
And when Bashar al-Assad achieving these victories in the battlefield, I guess he has the right to say, well, who is really desirable to be in this meeting or not, in this conference or not. I guess the Russians, the Chinese want Iran to be inside this. But I guess that would not influence Iran anymore in any way or in any manner, because Iran is powerful,
Definitely.
This nobody can discuss this issue. But I guess the Saudis and the Americans, look, this issue really it needs to be tackled in a very critical manner.
Yes.
The Americans want to appease, to some extent, the Saudis regarding the issue of Iran, United States deal regarding the uranium file. And that, I guess, a kind of saying, well, okay, we are not agreeing that Iran should be present in this conference. Then the Russians are insisting that Iran should be present in this. And then the Americans would say, okay, since our partners in this world, especially the even Al-Akhdar al-Ibrahimi.
Yes.
Even Al-Akhdar al-Ibrahimi.
So it's important.
Many times it's important that Iran to be there in the in the conference. I guess finally Iran will be there in the conference.
Yes.
However, that would not change the conviction of Iran that the situation in Syria should be solved
internally,
peacefully,
definitely.
Peacefully and without any international intervention mm-hmm. directly mm-hmm. Inside Syria.
Okay, can and we that say that Saudi Arabia here is afraid of Iran's participation in Geneva too? And that's afraid. Why they're investing every penny in Syria to save the situation even more than any time before. And that they're playing their final cards in order to have the upper hand in Geneva too, because Iran will be participating and they want to have control over the results, at least for it to be to their own benefit.
At this moment in the history of the battle in Syria, mm-hmm. on Syria, Saudis can hinder or put obstacles to arrive to certain solution, peaceful solution, mm-hmm. but cannot to change the equation on the ground or in the international community. Mm-hmm. They can't change it because they failed to do anything with the Americans, they mm-hmm. failed to do anything with the Russians, although Bandar went there twice in order to bribe Putin,
yes.
and to tell him or to threaten him even mm-hmm. Regarding these terrorists, and Putin answered him harshly mm-hmm. And without any gloves and saying that, well, Syria is not for sale.
Yes.
Syria is not for sale. That means the Russians are not accepting any deal in order to exchange its opinion or exchange President Assad by terrorists. Mm-hmm. So that is the message of Russia and Iran
okay.
and China.
Doctor, in addition
and
to that support that the Russians and the Chinese are actually showing to the Saudis, Syrians, Assad received also an Australian solidarity delegation comprising academic figures and activists headed by Professor Tim Anderson, as highlighted in Press TV today. What's the importance, in your opinion, of such Western visits, at least in showing solidarity with Assad, of course, in addition to Russia and China? And of course, many other countries.
Western intellectuals, I guess, becoming aware mm-hmm. of the.
And we haven't seen these visits before.
Becoming aware of the importance of President Assad mm-hmm. and becoming aware of the relationship with Iran and this axis. After these atrocities mm-hmm. committed by these terrorist groups.
And also by the achievements that Assad actually achieved on the ground.
Yeah, and also mm-hmm. after discovering that it is Al-Qaeda.
Yes.
There is no double standard with Al-Qaeda.
Yes.
So if you are Western against Al-Qaeda there and you are with Al-Qaeda here to kill or and
okay,
to
doctor,
commit
is it because most Western countries are now convinced that there's no more opposition inside Syria?
Yeah, yeah.
It's purely Al-Qaeda factions.
They say there is opposition mm-hmm. and there are groups who really want reform.
But they're minorities and they're not even out there.
They are somewhere there mm-hmm. in Paris, like Manna, inside Syria, like Abdel Azim and mm-hmm. other coordinating groups inside, whether or outside.
Okay.
But I guess Bashar al-Assad, President Assad, proposed many reformations in terms of constitution and institutions and on every level inside the regime. And that's the thing that can be achieved or done in the future.
Okay.
And any kind of dictations from Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, the Arabian mm-hmm. Gulf states, I guess will not find any positive response from Russia, even from the United States, mm-hmm. because the United States
are totally aware that
they
it's
know,
terrorist groups fighting inside Syria, and no more opposition.
And even Ryan Croker, an ambassador, mm-hmm. American ambassador, was in Iraq, and he said there is no other choice but
okay.
Bashar al-Assad.
Yes.
So that's the issue. Now
okay.
now changes are occurring there.
And we will have to see what will happen in January 22 in Geneva, of course,
sure.
from Geneva to, of course, on even January 24. Dear viewers, that's all the time that we have. Thank you for watching us.